and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling the sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. So the way movement, which is what the Jesus movement was called, the way, all of a sudden it's they don't know it yet, but they have become the church, basically. The beginning, the early of the church had become. They're starting to gather and do those things we just read. And I think they quickly discovered in their lives that they really, really needed each other, okay? Because this is a different type of living. You got Roman government to worry about. You got the Jewish religious leaders. You got a lot to worry about. It's not like our freedoms that we have today. So I think they discovered that they need each other to do this mission of going and making other disciples. So how do we, going on our level and back to us, little low church here, how do we live life on mission? How do you live life on mission? And we're going to go straight to Acts 2:42. And all four things is straight from Acts, okay? These are not Todd points, these are God points, specifically. So let's read Acts 2:42 from the Message Paraphrase Bible. Here's what they did. They committed themselves to the teachings of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. You think they're ready for this? 3,000 people, probably not. So many unknowns, such a new way of life, could even be dangerous, but they committed themselves. Ready or not, we commit. So what did they do? They commit themselves to number one, was the teachings of the apostles. The teachings of the apostles. This is pursuing Jesus like John talked about a couple weeks ago. Just committing to the teachings of Scripture, the Word, the Bible, committing to that and realizing that this is a catalyst. Like, it's just vital for us to live our life on mission. It's a catalyst to an intimate relationship with God. The Word is how God has chosen one of the major ways, the main way probably, of revealing His character and who He is, of Christ being able to reveal who God is. It's crucial. It's crucial. It's a foundation. It's the catalyst, the teachings of the apostles. And they committed to that. It just teaches us who God is. It's just what it does. And it reveals the heart of God through Jesus. So they committed to the teachings. And then the second thing they did, they committed to the life together. The life together. The word used is fellowship. If you go to the Greek word, it's koinonia. And that word, fellowship or koinonia, is a pretty cool word, but it really just means having the fullest possible partnership with each other. The fullest possible intimate into me you see relationship, okay? That's what it means. And this life together is really one of the most simplest but greatest purposes of the church, is having life together simply to help each other. I mean, my gosh, do we not need help in life? We need help. And a big purpose of the church is simply to help each other, to listen and that kind of thing. And when we learn and practice the way of Jesus by doing life together, we practice and we do the one another's on each other, you know? The pray for each other, the serve each other, to encourage each other, to honor each other, to be devoted to each other. That's koinonia. That's that fullest possible intimacy that we can do. It's living the golden rule for each other, doing to others, and on, the life together. The next thing was, it kind of falls under life together, is the common meal. John encouraged us last week to have the common meal together, meaning you sit at the table with someone, you invite them over, and you have a meal together, literally a common meal together. Why do we do that? Besides just what they just said right here, it's just the most intimate thing you can do. It's a simple thing you can do, and it's a powerful thing you can do. Don't you think? It's powerful, very powerful, the common meal. We have friends that call and want to go out to eat every once in a while, and you know what Sandy says? Got to eat. Everybody's got to eat. Well, why not? Let's go, right? The common meal is an everyday thing in a simple way, that in a great way to get to know one another, not only to know one another, but to be known. It's a great way to see others and be seen. The common meal and living life together. Then last thing is, be committed to the prayers. The prayers. All together, right? Prayers meaning kingdom prayers for God's will to be done, not our will. So important. And there's power when we do it together. Personal prayers, praying for each other as we gather together, live life together. Pray for each other. Pray with each other. And that is probably the most powerful way to have intimacy with one another is the prayers. The prayers. It's a powerful way. It's all about intimacy. And prayer, I heard defined as this. Prayer is the difference between what we can do. We can do so much, and God wants us to do our part when it comes to following Him and praying and all that. We got to do our part. But prayer is the difference between what we can do and what He can do. God can do a lot. We can only do so much, and prayer is the difference. Okay? If we don't pray, it's probably not going to happen. If we pray, it's going to be a no, a not yet, or a yes. Okay? Prayer is the difference between what we can do and what God do. We are to be committed together to the prayers. If we do these four things, then what? What are the results? We just read in 43 through 47 those verses. First of all, that there was a sense of awe of what God was doing. And I believe that there's a sense of awe from what God was doing then, that there still can be a sense of awe in what God can do now. Repentance, confession time. I don't always see the awe of God, and I don't always do good with these four things. Matter of fact, I've kind of stunk at it. And as a leader of a church, as leaders of a church, that's not good. Okay? We've kind of stunk at the four things up there. We do okay. We go through spurts, and now we got an excuse called COVID. We'll never be ready to meet again together in homes and such, will we? Mm-mm. COVID. Or whatever else. We can come up with millions of excuses. If we want to see the awe of God, I think we all want to see that and get new testimonies and new stories. I think it's going to come from the gathering and doing those four things. It's just a natural response, a God-honoring response. If we do that, then God will do His part. And another result is that generosity just came out of people. They were sharing. Generosity abounds when we do these four things. Joy or happiness abounds. They were praising God. Gratitude just abounds, just comes out if we do these four things. They became in one mind and purpose. Yeah, drama, no place. Differences, that's fine, but let's just talk about it, right? Yeah, let's come to agreements. One mind, one purpose. And then what else happened? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. How did God choose, or how did the church go and do the great mission? They gathered together. And people were saved, made whole, finding purpose, finding identity, all those things, through the gathering of the people, the saints. You may never feel ready. You may never feel ready. You can always find an excuse. But let me ask you, will you commit to these four things? As a church, as leadership, we are doing a lot more. We're doing a lot better. And we're trying a lot harder to provide opportunities for these things, to give you opportunities to plug in, to be together, to for the teachings of the scriptures, to living life together, for the common meal, for prayers. We're going to be giving you more and more opportunities. But it's going to be your responsibility to step up. It's going to be your responsibility to see if all this is really true, that if we do these things, then what's going to happen? It's going to be your responsibility. It's our responsibility, and John's really doing a really good job of really of getting these 28 days together and the small groups together and such, giving us opportunities to just do what the scripture says, to live out the great mission. You may not feel ready, but will you commit to it? Will you commit to simply the 28 days, 1 month, 4 weeks? Will you commit to every morning or evening? I'd say morning is your best, freshest time, but some of you might have to do it at 10 at night. Will you commit to setting your alarm clock at 7:14? And wherever you are, you stop and drop. You stop and pray. Will you commit every day, every morning, or sometime to go through each day and just get out your Bible and read the scripture and read what the folks wrote and then journal and just keep going with it? Will you commit to that? Because I know if you do, if we commit, be on the screen, I think. Yep. If we commit to pursue Jesus and practice the way, then what? We're going to be living our life on mission. And let me just tell you about that. The results of living our life on mission, in my opinion, is things like we experience that koinonia, that fellowship. Like the early church here, people saw the way they were treating one another and an inclusiveness of one another. And guess what? People on the outside wanted to be on the inside. They're out there saying, man, what is this? And people were added daily just because of the love and the fellowship and the koinonia that was going on. That's who we need to be. Man, we need to be fun, don't we? Joyful. Grace givers. Truth tellers. Showing others the way and getting on the way ourselves. But it starts, in my opinion, with that commitment, because we may never be fully ready. I'm not worthy to do this. Why me? Let me get my life first, and then I'll commit. No. No. Come as you are. Commit where you are. Then you're going to find, in my experience and knowledge and opinion and all that, if you want to find your true purpose, your identity, live the abundant life, and all those things, it's what you have to do is commit. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their ways, their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, let's just pray to our Lord God. Father, we pray a prayer of commitment. For some of us, we're going to pray right now that, God, we're not ready. We're going to have a need just to forgive, ask for forgiveness for the idols that we put in our lives and just the stuff and the other things. We're going to admit that we're not ready. But I just pray that there's some in this room will say in their mind's eye right now to say, I commit to you, Father. I commit. Say that if you're ready. I commit to 28 days. I'll give you 28 days, Lord. 7:14 a.m., p.m. I'm going to stop. As I go throughout my days, I'm going to just be committed unto you. I'm going to plug in. Father, I'm going to plug into this church, to my neighborhood, to wherever I work. I'm going to plug in and just get to know people and invite them in. Father, I'm going to commit to your great mission of being a disciple first, and then having the knowledge and ability to help make new disciples. Maybe you want to commit just being a part of being in a small group, whatever it is. Just lay it down to his feet. So, Father, we're going to worship out. We're going to commit during our song, during our worship time. As we go about our day, we're going to remember, just going to remember these words. We're going to just know in our spirit that if we commit to you, pursuing you and practicing your way, then you're going to teach us how to do the rest. So, Father, we love you. Speak to us as we worship out. We love you. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. Stand as we worship.